We now join Denise Morris speaking to Yasmin Nair, who is currently writing on the undocumented and unafraid movement in the United States.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, this is Denise Morris, and I have Yasmin Nair on the phone with me. Welcome to KBOO, Yasmin.
Thanks, Denise. It's a pleasure to be back here.
Yes, you are a longtime contributor to The Old Mole, but let me tell folks a little bit about who you are before we get started talking about our subject today. You are a Chicago-based writer, activist, academic, and commentator, and your work appears in various anthologies, including Captive Genders, Trans Embodiment and the Prison Industrial Complex, Windy City Queer, Dispatches from the Third Coast, and Arab Studies Quarterly. As well, you are a co-founder and member of the editorial collective Against Equality. You've contributed to Against Equality anthologies, Queer Critiques of Gay Marriage, and Don't Ask to Fight Their Wars, as well the newly released Against Equality anthology, Prisons Will Not Protect You. And your activism includes immigration work, public education, gentrification, and youth at risk. Yeah, you are busy, and we thank you for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you.
So, undocumented versus illegal, this is the subject of your new article, In Progress, the first in a series of three examining immigration rights movements in the U.S. Most notable of late is the emergence in the last few years of the grassroots youth movement, Undocumented and Unafraid. And in this first article, you look at the campaigns to end the use of the word illegal, putting undocumented in its place. The argument being, of course, that illegal is stigmatized and undocumented confers more dignity. But you argue, actually, that, quote, this is a distinction without a difference. Using one word instead of another does nothing to erase the harsh realities faced by those living without papers in this country. So to begin, Yasmin, let's have you describe briefly, you know, what has been the political and strategic direction for the immigration rights movement following the mass protests that erupted in 2006?
Sure. I think one of the most notable features about the immigration rights movement is its sort of gradual movement away from looking at immigration as a crisis around labor issues, and instead moving into a very, what I call a very sort of affective realm instead. So over the last six odd years, the immigration rights movement has preferred to dwell upon the issue of families torn apart and so on. You know, it's been a very personalized discourse. I think the strategy they decided upon was one that centralized people as opposed to policies. I think they thought that this would help push some form of immigration reform forward. And in fact, I think I would argue, as I do in my pieces, that this has been actually disastrous for the immigration rights movement. It's done the opposite. It's created far more grueling conditions for a certain subset of people.
And we'll talk about that later in the segment, but I wanted to first have you address this question of undocumented versus illegal. Why does this emerge? You know, my sense as someone who's, you know, a fairly aware person trying to do activism as well, that my sense has been that this movement was actually somewhat a corrective to the DREAM activism, more civil disobedient, more visibility, perhaps risky and somewhat creative.
It's not quite so much a corrective, but actually a response, you know, as a response alongside DREAM activism. What happened in 2006 is that we saw the emergence of a new young generation of people who were growing up, who had just graduated high school or who were just entering college and realizing that they had absolutely no rights under the current laws. And I think this sparked, especially in Chicago, there was a movement around one young immigrant named Rigo Padilla. I was involved in that particular case. Essentially, I think that the Undocumented Unafraid movement began as a really vital, important, and very dynamic grassroots movement. It has since become something that's been swallowed up by mainstream immigration rights organizations.
So then to kind of detail that out a bit. You talk about the relationship that a lot of this mainstream activism, we see this in the gay mainstream movements as well, turning towards a system that is understood to be somewhat neutral as the arbiter of fairness to achieve certain goals. You put this in a different context, looking at neoliberalism and the prison industrial complex, and this construct of good immigrant, bad immigrant.
Right, right. And we saw this, you know, starting in 2006, there was this movement, there was an effort within the immigration rights movement, and especially the DREAM activists, to constantly cordon themselves off, to separate themselves away from the bad immigrants, you know, in other words, the high school dropouts, the drug dealers, and so on. So that distinction became really important for them to gain entrance into, as you rightly point out, what the gay movement and what the immigration rights movement construes as a kind of, dispassionate system of governance, when in fact the system of governance that they depend upon is very much, it sort of draws upon notions of legality and illegality that are often tenuous and often quite arbitrary, right? So when you talk about distinguishing, for instance, you know, the drug-dealing immigrant from the good immigrant who comes here to set up a home for his family, when you make those kinds of distinctions, you ignore the fact that the drug wars, the NAFTA-induced drug wars and the trade wars have in fact created entire classes of people who have to resort to what are then construed as forms of illegality or forms of ways of making a living that are construed as illegal. But all of that is really is a result of the very policies, right, that are very artificially imposed upon various countries by the United States. So I think there's a way in which both the gay rights movement, you know, when it looks for equality, for instance, or the immigration rights movement, when it looks for imbuing itself with this idea of being good or more legal than others, I think both segments ignore the fact that the notion of legality itself is a profoundly neoliberal construct.
Well, in your piece also you point out, and let me tell folks, this is the Old Mole Variety Hour, KBOO, Portland. I'm talking with Yasmin Nayer, activist and writer from Chicago. We're talking about immigration rights movement and the undocumented and unafraid movement. Obama recently quoted him in your piece, had this to say, quote, if we're going to go after folks who are here illegally, we should do it smartly and go after folks who are criminals, gangbangers, people who are hurting the community, not after students, not after folks who are here just because they're trying to figure out how to feed their families. This distinction is being made, of course, on the grassroots as well as by policymakers.
Right.
So then you point out as well this important question about what gets lost in some of this activism when we have constructs in which we have more legal or less legal, good versus bad, that there is that this the whole system of legality doesn't get talked about. It becomes almost invisible.
Right.
So talk a little bit about that. What is it, you know, what would it look like to have a critique of a system of legality?
Right. I think I just also wanted to emphasize that when he talks about gangbangers and when immigrants talk about the illegals, they're also ignoring the fact that this country has 5% of the world's population and 25% of the prison population, and that most people in jail today are African Americans and people of color. So there's also that. I just want to point that out as well, in the ways that the immigration rights movement also ignores the kind of systemic inequalities perpetuated by the prison industrial complex and by phrases like gangbangers. But in terms of, I guess you're asking about, you know, what would it look like, right? You're asking, I think, is what would it look like to resist this? That work is actually being done by several young activists in Chicago who are, in fact, many of them have been determined as quote-unquote illegal, have, you know, they're not called undocumented, they're the ones called illegal, they are being deported, but are also doing a lot of really amazing work against the prison industrial complex and against neoliberalism. For instance, last year, right before a giant immigration rights rally, a number of them, some of whom actually had the surveillance bracelets on their ankles, actually showed up at the Boeing factory to protest the U.S. war machine before they went to the immigration rights rally. And in many ways, a lot of these people are actually doing very on-the-ground activism against the prison industrial complex, for instance, and refusing. I know a number of young activists, for instance, who are refusing to buy into this this distinction between the good and the bad immigrants, and who also, this is also, I think, very important to remember, is that the other way to resist this is to resist something like the DREAM Act, and particularly the DREAM Act's dependence upon the military. The, one of the big elements of the DREAM Act, for instance, is this idea that youth especially should have the option, quote-unquote, of going into the military in order to gain an eventual pathway to citizenship. And there are actually youth, undocumented illegal youth, who are resisting the DREAM Act. So that kind of work does not get spoken about in the mainstream media. And I think the way to kind of start to resist and to actually create a discourse and an action around immigration is to first, I think, start asking really hard questions. And also, you know, in the spirit of AIDS activism from the 80s and 90s, to refuse to buy into those distinctions. You know, in the 90s, people in South Africa were wearing T-shirts that, that said, I am HIV positive. You know, in other words, to sort of take on the burden of AIDS and to refuse to differentiate between themselves and those who were HIV positive. And I think, I wonder, and I've often wondered if that, what would it look like for us to do the same thing as immigration rights activists, to refuse to buy into those distinctions?
We have just about 3 minutes left. You know, it is important to clarify for folks that this is certainly not just a concern about language or identity, although identity plays into how political strategies are enacted. And really at the core here is our concerns about political action and the broader social justice ends we struggle for. And the challenge, I think, to the left to speak up for those who end up being more marginalized mm-hmm. within marginalized groups. And this is often a difficult struggle when movements are being built. Why don't we kind of finish then with this question about identity? I want to quote you real quickly and then have you just take the last couple minutes. You say, when immigration becomes a declarative identity, then we have no system to fight. And I tend to think of this in terms of the system being naturalized and understood as this neutral entity rather than something that really actually has fangs. And folks see it as a way for individuals to kind of pass through freely, except for those few obstacles mm-hmm. here and there that aren't necessarily understood as systemic. So my question for you is to quote you again, that you talk about, you know, targeted, these groups are targeted groups because of the color of their skin, regardless of any legislation that might go through SB 1070 passing in Arizona. So my question for you is, you know, as an activist working on these issues, particularly with young people, what does it look like to try to come to consciousness that there is a system to fight?
I think what that looks like is, I don't want to sound unhopeful, but I think there's a lot of work ahead of us because the sort of conversation around illegality and immigration is already being predetermined by enormously powerful immigration rights groups. But I think, you know, as I've said, there is already that consciousness within youths that I know of and adults that I already know. And even in the left, a lot of people understand this. It's only when we begin to start to, but I think they've bought into this notion of undocumented is better than illegal, precisely because so many of the activists working on that are in fact themselves self-identified as progressive or left.
And I'll have to actually end there, Yasmin. I really appreciate you coming on the program, and we'll continue to discuss these issues going forward, definitely. And we'll link
Thank
to
you
your
so much.
Website and to your piece when it comes out later in the week. Yasmin Nayar, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.